It is April 1st, 2015, and sorry I didn't get a message up last night or earlier this morning, but we had some discernment issues that we had to address, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. I want to take a moment to tell you that getting to know you, all of our listeners on YouTube, getting to know you, family, has just been wonderful, and I've never met such a sensitive, loving and caring group of souls anywhere. I'm so grateful for those of you who've written in and who listen to our channel and make comments, and even the support helps. But the most beautiful part of it all is just the spirit of the people who've been on this channel is just so sweet and precious. And Ezekiel and I are overwhelmed and tremendously grateful to the Lord for sending all of you to our channel. We are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting us and for being here. And last night I began a message, and it went pretty smoothly until I noticed that things had shifted and there was a contradiction. At that point, I stopped totally, went into discernment mode. Ezekiel had already gone to bed, so I couldn't ask him to help me discern. And I was getting very, very tired because yesterday was a heavy day. A lot of correspondence. I love you guys, and I love writing back to you, but it wipes me out. So I'm hoping that as I share more about our videos with you that you'll be looking into the previous videos so that I don't have to repeat myself, because a lot of things that I'm being asked I've already addressed in a pretty in-depth teaching, and the playlists usually have teachings categorized. So if you go to the playlist, you can tell a whole lot. Anyway, I want to get on with the message. We finally got it discerned. I wasn't hearing from the Lord in the second half of that message, so it's a good thing I stopped. And this happens. This actually does happen. And when you pick up on it, you stop and you pray and you wait on the Lord for him to clarify it. But the first part of the message was perfect. So that's what I'm going to give you this morning. This is where Jesus began. Right now, I am most concerned about the little ways of compromise, little insignificant things that open the door to bigger things. Even in the short time left, I am most concerned that my bride is not preparing herself sufficiently with prayer and communing with me. I say this because strong temptations will be released as things begin to heat up, and unless my bride is truly dwelling in me, she will not weather the storms in equanimity. She will be swayed. No preparation is as important as prayer right now. I know there are many who are still sorting things out for when they are gone. I advise you, do not worry about them. The very moment you are taken from the earth, my plan will start into action. And there he's talking about his plan for your children, your spouse, whatever. What has been left behind is sufficient without getting into worldly things, as you have been tempted to do. I must say I am proud of you for not giving in. But Lord, I feel such restraint in the depths of my being about things like shopping for food and, you know, shortwave radios and that kind of thing. I just feel restraint. And he said, that's my spirit dwelling in you. Perhaps the most precious thing you can do is to leave a sweet letter behind. Other than that, stay away from things that will draw you back out into the world. I have told you what is coming. And the very best preparation is what you are doing now, communing with me, soaking in my reality, and anticipating my needs. You know from experience that focusing on things pertaining to the flesh bring you far away from center in me. They cause you to lose touch with reality. And when I say reality, I mean my reality, not the so-called reality of the world and all its busyness, which in an instant can be undone. The temptations to act on practical everyday matters can be overwhelming. Yet if you weigh what is in the balance and consider that this world will not be your home for very much longer, you can choose for the spirit. The very best preparation for your departure is spiritual. This will even impact your children. Okay, and that is where the message stopped. And I want to go over a couple things with you in this. I imagine for women, for all women, it's the same thing. If company's coming to visit you, immediately you swing into a full-scale cleaning out, organized in perfect shape, and you make a good impression, and everything is orderly. And then when you're stressing out also, like when you're about to give birth, you know your time is near, you start nesting. And you start running around taking care of little things that really aren't important at the time, but you're nesting. Sometimes when women get upset, they also nest. And I've shared that with my husband, and he's caught me several times in the past years nesting. Honey, are you nesting? And I would be nesting, for instance, if I was having trouble with discernment. That's one of the most painful things in my life, is thinking I'm hearing from the Lord when I'm not, and he allows that sometimes for training and for pride, to correct pride. And I got lots of pride, so I do have to be careful of that. So I start nesting when I find out that I've gone astray and the Lord is correcting me. I've gotten better about it in the years, but it is a temptation I think that a lot of us struggle with. So here we are looking at the biggest change that could ever happen in our lives. Some of you may be a little bit anxious. Some of you ladies and even men may be in nesting mode or thinking about, I'll leave this behind, I'll leave that behind, I'll do this, I'll do that. And you can get caught up in a whirlwind of busyness trying to prepare for who's left behind. And you are a sitting duck to be brought down by the enemy, because you will not be grounded when it all hits. And this is what the Lord is saying. This is his main concern right now, is not to be nesting, but to be praying. And for those of you who work, I suggest you take off 2 or 3 sick days before this weekend. I suggest you take off sick days for the rest of this week and devote yourself to prayer. Now, if something doesn't happen by the weekend, which I doubt, but if it doesn't, that's all right. It's not a big deal. You just lost a couple sick days. You can go back to work. But if something does happen, which is what we strongly feel, something is coming very soon. Whether it happens this weekend or next weekend, the Lord is calling for us to prepare now, to prepare by praying and focusing on him, to get into his reality. Because when the world's reality changes, if we aren't steadfast in his reality, we're going to be buffeted and knocked around and basically knocked off our horse and find ourselves just as confused as everyone else around us. And he doesn't want that. He wants us standing. One of the things Ezekiel brought up is that when the message started to go in a wrong direction last night, it was going in the direction of getting me out to the store, going and buying food and stocking up food and things for the children, for my unsafe loved ones, and getting real busy, putting things together. And in my spirit, I had no desire to do that. I said to the Lord, I feel such restraint in the depths of my being about things like shopping. And the Lord said, that's my spirit dwelling within you. And then 5 minutes later, this voice is talking to me about leaving things behind for my children and food, because food's going to be a shortage. There's going to be a shortage of food. I thought, what's going on here? This is a contradiction. This isn't right. This isn't the Lord. Obviously, somebody's messing with my head. So I just stopped at that point and went to bed and got up this morning and then started working on discerning it with Ezekiel. And one of the things Ezekiel said is the Lord already has a plan for our children. And for your children and your husband, the Lord has got a plan. And his divine providence, his providential hand is going to swoop down and touch them and lift them up and provide for them. And that's going to be one of the signs to them that God is with them and that he loves them, that he's not abandoned them. So in a sense, the false spirit or demon was what it was trying to get me to do God's job. Trying to get me to go set everything up perfectly for the kids when the Lord already has a plan, and that plan will bring them into a deeper faith. I wanted to share this with you because I am very, very nitty picky about discernment, and I don't ever want to be misled. And it's not just a pride thing. It's like, I don't want my mind put in places where it shouldn't be. I don't want my priorities set on things that it shouldn't be set on and at the wrong time. But more than that, I don't ever want to deceive anyone who's reading my messages or listening to my videos. Ezekiel has something to contribute to this message this morning. The Lord is dealing with us about hidden judgments. Now, this is the fruit of totally focusing on Him in prayer and dwelling prayer and being with the Lord. And please, guys, I have a whole set of teachings on dwelling prayer. On dwelling prayer. So don't write to me and ask me, what is dwelling prayer? Because I have a whole set of teachings. They're my early teachings. They're foundational teachings with scripture. At the very oldest teachings. They're very foundational, and they'll help you understand what dwelling prayer is. It's very similar to soaking prayer, except you're dwelling in your heart with the Lord who lives there.
Well, I woke up this morning, and the first thought in my mind, the very first cognizant thought in my mind was that I needed to repent, that we needed to repent. And I thought, well, what for, Lord? What? Thought we checked all our bases, and I think we're all trying to stay clean before you and pray and watch and wait and be prepared. And, you know, help where we can, but stay focused on you. And he brought before me a couple of faces, familiar faces of people that I know and have known that for the longest time, maybe weeks, months, or even years in some cases, I assumed that they just weren't going to be ready and that they just weren't going to go. And, you know, I hope they'd be okay, but I guess they were just going to have to stay behind and go through some of this. And the Lord called me short on that. And he said, if there's any hidden judgment in your heart like that, first of all, you have no idea of the state of any soul before me. That's for me and me alone to judge. And when you look at a person or people or situations that you think aren't going to make it or won't be taken, you're setting yourself up to be the judge and the jury, and you've already pronounced sentence on them. I can't allow you to have that. Yeah. It was like he was saying, there's zero tolerance for judgment here. I mean, that's probably one of the ugliest stains we could have on our wedding dress.
It's the worst.
And to be very careful and to go back and ask the Holy Spirit to please bring up any hidden areas of judgment that we may have tucked away, attitudes, anything like that, about anything or anyone. But I don't care if it's someone from a world leader to a religious leader to the neighbor, a cousin, an uncle, a friend, an enemy, whoever. We just can't make that call, and we shouldn't. We need to look for the good and pray for the good for everyone. And as Paul says, we need to esteem all others as better than ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So the safest place is the lowest place. Yeah. I know we want to be set and ready when he comes. And I don't want to have anything like that in the way when he does. Because if I have hidden judgment in my heart, then he's going to have to judge me. And I want that to be a celebration, a time of celebration, not a time of judgment. So check your hearts. Check them deep and check them regularly and thoroughly these next few days.
Thank you. That's a very good word. And I'm guilty as charged. Even now I can think of a couple people that I have thought to myself, oh, they're not going. You know, and Lord, I repent. Forgive me. That's terrible. I mean, who am I to judge the state of a soul? We just don't know. Even some of these world leaders that seem to be terrible and have terrible agendas. Some of them think that they really believe they're doing the world a favor. They really believe that what they what they are doing is has to be done for the good of all. And only the Lord knows the state of a soul. So that was a very good word. And I think the other thing I would like to say is, you know, even in things like on YouTubes that we hear or whatever, I think we should be very careful to not accuse people of being this or being that, or be careful not to accuse the vessels that the Lord has chosen to share his word with. There are things that we don't know. We see as through a glass darkly. And there are things that we don't understand about other churches and other faiths that we just assume that they're evil because we've been taught that they were evil. And we really don't know. We haven't examined them. We haven't gotten the Lord's heart about those things. And so it causes us to have prejudice against people and to make judgments against them. And sometimes people, when they open their mouths to make a judgment, they can be really vicious and say terrible things. And it's best not to judge at all, you know, let alone to do it with the wrong spirit. But even when we do it with the right spirit, we have to be so careful because we don't know how the state of that soul is before the Lord. We're just assuming that we know because of something we think is right or wrong. So I admonish you, unity, that they should be one. The Lord talks about that. My prayer is not for them alone. John 17. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And so the Lord is calling for unity. This is a critical moment in history. This is a critical moment in our lives. Let's not mess it up by being judgmental and harsh with other people. And certainly, let's not pronounce judgment on who's going to be going in the rapture and who isn't. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For by the standard you judge, you will be judged. And the measure you use will be the measure you receive. Why do you seek the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to see the beam of wood in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye while there's a beam in your own? First remove the beam from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So the Lord is saying here, it's very, very important not to be judging. But the most important thing, I think, the message out of this was what can be found in John 17. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Make an act of the will. Lord, this is an ugly sin, and I don't want to be in this place. I don't want to have opinions about who's right before you and who's wrong before you. That's not my place. That's your place. I don't want to be in that place. Please help me to stay out of judgment. And I can tell you from experience, the easiest way to stay out of judgment is to look at your own sins and to look at who you are before God. Take a look at yourself in God's mirror. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal some things about you that you know are wrong. Not to condemn yourself, but to keep a perspective so you can understand, wow, who am I to raise my eyes and condemn someone when I have this in my life? And one last note that Ezekiel reminded me of. Now, don't overreact to this teaching and feel like I'm not going because I judge so-and-so. No, no, the Lord is coming for you. He just wants you to keep your wedding garment unspotted until he gets here. And this time of preparation and quiet and dwelling in his presence is all about examining any little flaws that might be in our wedding garment. But you've got your wedding garment on and he's taking you. And you just want to be as pure before him as you possibly can. So that's the message for today, guys. Please pray for me so that it'll go a little smoother tonight and you can wake up to a new message. And the bottom line is, do what you can to stay in prayer for the next 3 or so days. Don't worry about what's left behind and what's not left behind. Make an effort to really get into the Lord's space and his perspective on the world. We all know something is coming. All of us have been sitting on the edge of our seats, some for years, waiting for the rapture. Many of us have been disappointed time and time again that the rapture didn't happen when we thought it was going to happen. And, you know, it may be delayed by a few days, but the Lord said, and I really believe this was the Lord, don't push it back to the fall. That's the best hint that he gave me. Don't push it back to the fall. And the signs, the other signs that we're looking for as to the timing. In Ezekiel's dream, when he was taken up in the rapture, the leaves were just beginning to put out little green leaves, little tiny green leaves coming off the end of the branches. That was his timing, and I believe the Lord was pinpointing that for Taos, because that's where we live, in Taos, New Mexico. And then the 13-year-old girl that had the incredible open vision when she was 13 and didn't know the Lord, her dogwood tree was in full bloom. And this was in Georgia. The dogwood tree was in full bloom, just gloriously. And it's, in her vision, even, it's beautiful because the dogwood is associated with Christ. The story that goes with it is that the Lord's blood dropped on the petals of the flowers. I don't know the whole association, but it was a symbol. I believe that in her rapture experience, that she was actually seeing the condition, the season of the year that it was going to happen. And that dovetails with what we've seen. And that would be before summer. So prepare your hearts with prayer before this holy weekend. What happens next week? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Well, I just took a break a moment ago and I picked up one of my books that I enjoy reading from for a rhema. And this is what I opened to. And I think it sums up everything, really. Help me understand, Lord, that the one thing you want the most from me is my presence. You created us to be with you in the Garden of Eden. And your son asked specifically if I could be with him in heaven. Help me to realize that my presence is the one gift I can give, and that it is often the only gift that matters. That was a quote from Lori Beth Jones' book, Jesus in Blue Jeans. And I just wanted to say that the Lord wants our presence for two reasons. For the health of our own souls, so that our reality will be his reality when it really matters, when we're really tried and put in the fire and the test. And because he wants the consolation of his bride beside him, paying attention to him when he's going through one of the roughest times in his history. And last night, as Ezekiel was keeping him company, he spoke to him and he said, your presence is a comfort to me. So let's continue to examine our hearts and to keep him company and to console him. The Lord bless you, family. You truly are a blessing to us. Thank you for listening.